If the panopticon is the optimal infrastructure design for power's purposes, a design which places command in the hands of the tiny, tiny few, and we must upend this plan with one that has the opposite effect of putting command in everyone's hands, would not the effect as well as the means be that every one of us has to see the world, not just the few, be able to encompass it in our being, in our daily lives, and make it the basis of our thought and decision making, beyond even Stevie Wonder's higher ground, to the highest ground imaginable. We cannot allow ourselves to get mired in the particular, in what is. Rather, we try to express the infinite in ourselves on its model and apply that insight to shape the particular. We cannot shape the future by allowing what is to own or occupy us, to be us. We have to be the future, which takes as its shape the infinite. If we want to escape class, a world of being trapped in boxes, the particular in micro. Rationalism is the third dimension of their control, and arguably their backup, their muscle, their fallback and stopgap, their last defense if we wake up, if the other mechanisms of control fail. So we find ourselves back to that Marcuse quote about the organized resistance of the scientists, the responsibility of the mind workers, the ones who give to power its technological domination, that strong arm against us. But even more than this, power is defeated if we just stop. That simple. Because of the power of certainty. In the July 7th show, we argued that power's solution to its dilemma of how to establish totalitarian control of us fell across three dimensions: mind, the internalization of discipline or psychological control; body, ensuring that external societal conditions reflected the imperative for power of generalized scarcity by creating and extending globally mechanisms for transferring the resources of the planet into its power's hands, or structural control; and then spirit, limiting our will to change things to the limits defined by rationalism or by the requirement that mind be objectified and divorced from body, that we relinquish control of our bodies and all longing to be free. These latter thoughts then become unthinkable, quote unquote. This might be called the control of our effective energy, our vitality. Today we've been discussing how this third dimension of power solution to establishing totalitarian control of us, the spiritual dimension, recalling Hugo's point that there must be no vacuum in the human heart, that our lives must have meaning. How it affects, that is, how this third dimension effectuates, solidifies, or concretizes the structure of class. Most of us want to believe we're part of some grand project, which explains the appeal of nationalism. But this is only because our lives lack intrinsic meaning. And most of us absolutely need our existence confirmed, recognition. And as we discussed in Revealing Division, when attention is made a scarce commodity, recognition itself becomes a kind of currency. And power, owning exclusive rights to this dispensation, along with every other resource necessary for human existence. The possession of recognition distribution rights ensures an effective, ongoing check on heart. So what would release it? How do we reoccupy our bodies? And how do we get the discussions going that will lead to conviction, certainty, and therefore backup, the support of other people with conviction? If we can agree that a good working definition of rationalism, one that reveals its practical effects, is that body is divorced from the thought process, how does rationalism direct us to power's self-averred goal of knowledge infinite, or assign this goal? It prioritizes mind. It directs society to only reward with recognition the work of cognition, of thought for thought's sake, of mind objectified. Till next week, peace.